God is good. Amen?
Amen.
We didn't wake up this morning to the news that our church had been bombed and burned, did we? And yet, Christians in Pakistan did. And so I hope that you're thankful for the freedoms that we enjoy in America and the opportunity to come to church. I so appreciate your efforts to come to church on Sunday mornings. There's people around the world that so desperately want to go worship the living God and can't for a lot of reasons. And I'm just so thankful to see you every Sunday morning. We miss you when you're not here, and we're so thankful when you are. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to continue to take a look at this idea of walking in the Spirit. And so most of you know, if you've been around here at all the last couple of weeks, we have been considering this idea of being born again in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. And so I've chosen Colossians chapter 3, many of the verses in that chapter today to refer to. Now, I'd like for us to consider a couple of things before I read any from Colossians. And I like us to consider these two very serious challenges that are before us. Challenge number one is, we as a society, we as a culture today, do not necessarily see the relevance of being born again. Okay? As a society, we don't subscribe to that word, that terminology. We don't really see the relevance of being born again. And or we could just plain be ignorant of the fact that Jesus said, as he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And I don't use that word ignorant negatively. I use it perhaps in today's society because we've left the word on the coffee table, or we've left it in the bookshelf so much, and we've neglected to look at it. We've forgotten, or maybe never knew, that Jesus said, you must be born again. And so that's our first serious issue. Our second serious dilemma is, even when we are allegedly born of the Spirit, so oftentimes we do not see the relevance and the importance of walking in the Spirit. And so that's why I love to read these letters in the New Testament particularly, because it is instructional for those readers of the day and for us today as to how to walk in the Spirit. You see, many of the Jews of that day, they wanted to walk according to the law. Not a bad idea, but their faith was in the law and law-keeping. And Paul reminded us the law helps illuminate us to sin, but the law doesn't save us. And so Paul writes these instructional letters to help the Jews recognize how to walk in the Spirit. And he also writes these to the Gentile believers who came from, well, like us, perhaps, very worldly backgrounds. And so he writes these letters to give them some instruction on how now to walk in the Spirit. And I love the way he says it in Colossians chapter 3. So oftentimes we think of, well, preacher, that's just some old book with a whole list of do's and don'ts. And I like how he puts it in Colossians 3 when he says, put off and put on. Put off the old ways, put off the old man, and put on the new man, the Spirit-filled men and women of God. And so, that's why I like Colossians 3 so well. If you've got your Bible, New King James Version is what I'm reading from today. Follow along on the big screen or in your Bible. Let's take a look. Paul writes, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Okay? You that are walking in the Spirit, he said, Church of God, people of God, that have confessed your sins and put your faith in Christ, seek those things which are above, which where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. And then he reiterates in verse 2, set your mind on those things, on the things above, on heavenly things. Fill our minds, he said, with things that are above. He goes on to say, not on things of the earth. Verse 3, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You see, friends, if we have genuinely been born of the Spirit, the old ways have died. Paul says that in many letters, and here he says, for you have died. We have died to our old will. We have died to our old agenda. We have died to the old flesh, because now our life is hidden in Christ. The old Jim, the old ways are dead because now we have been born again. We are alive and hidden in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And then he starts some of the instructional verses of this chapter. He says to them, and bear in mind again, he's helping them to realize, what does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It's not just a list of do's this and do's that, don't do that. It's a heart transformation, and when our heart is transformed, we let the Spirit lead us. And here's what he says for their instruction. Put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, even evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Doesn't really matter what letter you write or what you read. When you read the letters that Paul wrote, almost every one of them starts to give instructions, and almost every one of them has a phrase like this, and he reminds us, you used to be like that. And so he says, you've died to the old ways, put to death the old ways, and then he lists out a few things, and he says here, you used to be like that when you were walking in the flesh. It's time to let them go. But now, further instruction, you yourselves are to put off all these anger and wrath, malice. You see, they didn't know how to live. They didn't know what it meant to walk in the Spirit. They knew what it meant. The Jews knew what it meant to keep the law. But the people that have come to know Christ, whether they're Jew or Gentile, needed to have this instruction. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? To let the Spirit lead? And so these verses are very instructional when he says, put aside the anger, put aside the wrath, put aside the malice and the blasphemy and the filthy language out of your mouth. Don't even lie to each other anymore. He said, that's what you used to do, but don't do that anymore. Put that aside. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. Now let me say before I go any further, friends, this is not like making a New Year's resolution. Okay, I'm going to resolve to stop being angry this year. I'm going to resolve to stop lying to my wife or stop lying to my neighbor or my boss or whatever. That's not what this is. This is a change of life, because when we have met Jesus Christ as Lord and the Holy Spirit of God has come into us, he's going to help us to put off the old and to put on the new. And so it's not like I wake up tomorrow morning and say, okay, preacher said this, preacher said that, I guess I should do that. It's because we have been born anew in our spirit. It's because the Holy Spirit of God has taken up residence in us, and he's going to help us move towards that new man and move away from that old man. That's why Paul writes what he writes in all of these letters. It's instructions how to live in the Spirit. Further, he says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, now he starts to tell us how we should live in everyday living. Put on tender mercies, put on kindness, put on humility, put on meekness and long suffering, which is patience. Put on bearing with one another. He said, now you've been born of the Spirit. Now it's time to bear with each other, even though you may not agree on everything. Now it's time to bear with one another. Be patient with one another. Be kind to one another. He goes on to say, and forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And so you see these things that are very, very instructional for God's people. And he throws in there, and be thankful. These are not easy. As a matter of fact, they may not even be natural. Because if we have walked in the flesh for all our life, or perhaps for a few years, or perhaps for decades, being tender and merciful and kind and humble, they maybe won't be even natural to you. But with the Holy Spirit of God leading us, they become more and more natural to us. When we surrender our agendas and our wills and let the Holy Spirit of God move us, these become a more natural part of who we are. And I know if we go back to a couple of weeks when we started this series, we think about Nicodemus. Nicodemus would have said, I can and have kept the commandments. He could say that. Other people that came to Jesus in the New Testament said, I have kept the commandments. But Jesus wanted him to dig deeper. What about your heart condition? What's in your heart? Have you been born of the Spirit? Have you been born again? And so we can say, well, I've been to church and I've been a pretty good person. I haven't been like that person. But Jesus said to Nicodemus, it's more than just the law and keeping the commandments. It's a heart condition. Have you been reborn in your spirit? And brothers and sisters, when Paul writes all these letters, he's just simply helping us what it means to be walking the Spirit. It's instructional because maybe we didn't have a clue what the Word says. Maybe we don't have a clue how to live. Maybe we are ignorant of what the Spirit is trying to lead us in. So he gives us these letters to be instructional. And so, when we think about being born again, it's a spirit thing. It's no longer, yes, I can check off the Ten Commandments. It's a spirit thing because we've been reconnected to God by our spirit. It's an exchange of my fleshly, worldly heart to a heart that is led by the Holy Spirit of God. It's a heart thing. It's a spirit thing and it's a heart thing. I think we can probably liken it to this. We can exchange that, well, I have, from the thinking, I have to follow the law, to I want to follow Jesus. It's a heart thing. It's a heart condition. You know, if you're a basketball fan, you probably, there was a time when you said, I want to be like Michael Jordan. The basketball kids of the day all wanted to grow up and be like Mike. Or the football kids all want to be like Adrian Peterson or somebody today. That's what it's like when we have a heart exchange for Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to walk like Jesus. You know, when we're little kids, we look up to our dads. Sons look up to their dads. Women look up to their moms. And when we're younger, we look up to them. And I want to be like my dad. I want to be like my mom. When you've been born of the Spirit, our heart begins to say, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to walk like Jesus walked. I want to walk in His Spirit. And so I'm just saying, brothers and sisters, the heart that is reborn said, the old ways, they're not any good for me. The old ways, they're not good for me. And the heart that's been reborn, it says, the old ways are going to lead me to death. They're going to lead me to heartache. They're going to lead me to pain. The heart that is reborn says, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to follow Jesus. It's a spiritual thing, living in the Spirit, friends. It's a spiritual rebirth. It's not something we force powered by our own Armstrong or because the preacher says to. It's a spiritual thing. And so that's why he says in these verses, put off, put to death and put off. And then he says, put on these new things. And I want to close with just a little story. But I want you to ponder this before I go to this little story. Because I don't know about you, and I can really only speak for myself. But since I have been born again, friends, I'm not interested in what I can get away with. Are you hearing me? Since I've been born of the Spirit, I'm not interested any longer in, well, I think I can do this, and I think I can get away with that, and I think I can fudge here. I'm not interested in that anymore. When we've been born of the Spirit, it's a new day. We are a new creation. We put to death the old ways. And our heart should say when we've been born again, I want to be like Jesus. And so it should be a new day for us. And sin shouldn't have that tantalizing allure. Oh yeah, it'll pop up. The devil will see to it that it does once in a while. That temptation. But you don't have to give in to that temptation to sin. The person that is born again says no to sin. There'll be a temptation or two. But the person that is born of the Spirit says no to that. And so, I hope you can say like Paul, I'm not interested in being like I used to be, persecuting the church and zealous, but wrong. I hope that you can say like Paul, I'm interested in walking in the newness of life, in the fullness of the Spirit. I'm interested in walking with Jesus. Now let me close with this little story about Chuck Colson. I think you all know Chuck Colson, don't you? Who doesn't know Chuck Colson? Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Chuck Colson was a special counsel to President Nixon. If you've heard of Watergate, you would know that Chuck Colson was involved. If you've heard of Richard Nixon, you know that Chuck Colson was involved. If you've heard of prison fellowship, Chuck Colson is involved. That's the two sides of Chuck Colson. Let me read for you just a little bit of a story to close. Chuck Colson wrote, a lot of people have asked me what I think about when I remember back to that hot, humid August night in 1973 when Tom Phillips, then the president of Raytheon Company, witnessed to me in his home. I left his house that night shaken by the words that he had read to me from C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity about pride. It felt as if Lewis were writing to me, a former Marine captain, special counsel to the President of the United States. Now in the midst of this Watergate scandal, I had this overwhelming sense that I was unclean. After talking to Tom, I found that when I got out to my car to drive away, I couldn't drive. I was crying too hard, and I wasn't one to ever cry. I spent an hour crying out to God, the God I didn't even really know. I didn't even know the right words. I simply knew I wanted Him and I needed Him. And I knew for certain that God, who created the universe, heard my cries. Because the next morning to this very day, he wrote this some 35 years later, I have never looked back. For the last 35 years, whether in pain or in suffering, whether in joy or jubilation, it makes no difference. I have known there was a purpose for me. I have known that I belong to Christ and that I am here on earth to advance His kingdom. Through Chuck Colson, there is a ministry that a lot of you have heard about called Prison Fellowship and Angel Tree that is ministering to people in 114 countries, tens of thousands of men and women coming out of prison, being redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and then finding their place in community, and the whole church being sensitized to the needs of the least of these in our midst. He's been ministering to prison inmates and their families for decades. Chuck is now dead, but this is what he has done. He also writes, I also wonder what might have happened to me personally if I had never encountered the living God. I do not really think I would even be alive today, he writes. Before my conversion, I partied, drank too much, smoked heavily, and if I managed somehow to survive the high-powered party life in Washington among the very rich and famous and powerful, I would have been so miserable, I don't think I could have lived with myself. If I did not know for sure that God, who created us, sent His Son to die on a cross that my sins might be forgiven, I would have long ago suffocated in the stench of my own sin. End quote. And I just give us that little story because I figured most of you knew who Chuck Colson was. Of the Chuck Colson before he was born again, and the Chuck Colson after he was born again. You say, Jim, I can never be the president of Prison Fellowship. You don't have to be. But what you do have to do is let the Holy Spirit of God minister to you and be all you can be for the Lord Jesus Christ right where you're at. Because the old days and the old ways, Paul says, put them off. And put on that new man. Let the Holy Spirit of God lead you. Because when you do, it will be a new day. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Then I'm going to invite Richard and Kathy Broberg up here for a short ceremony. Father God, thank you for the instructional purpose of the New Testament. To help us not be ignorant any longer of living in the flesh and without you. But to help us know you, to help us surrender to you and help us to see what it's like to walk in the Spirit. And so, Father, today as we have gathered here, maybe we are still stuck in the flesh. Maybe we haven't even encountered Jesus Christ as Lord. Maybe we're like Chuck that day after Watergate had already happened and he knew he was headed to prison, but he knew he needed a Savior. Maybe we're here like that today. Maybe we've been in church a few times. Maybe we've been a pretty good person, but we've never encountered Jesus Christ as Lord. Father, I pray today that we would cry out to you, just like Chuck did in that car for an hour that night. Cry out to you and be born again, to be born of the Spirit. Lord, I just pray that if we have been born again and we're letting the flesh win the battle, I pray that we would surrender the flesh, we'd put that off, we would die to that, and we would put on the new man. We would let your Spirit lead us so that we might walk in newness of life. So whatever we are, whatever we're at today, Lord, I just pray that you would speak to us and move us to that place in close communion and fellowship with you that you so desire from us. Thank you for these words. I pray, Lord, that we go from here challenged by them and with them. In Jesus' name, amen. Richard, Kathy, every now and then, friends, the Lord puts a calling on someone's heart. And I don't mean calling just to be born again. That's the first calling He'll give you, because He loves you and He wants you to be born again. But every now and then, He will put a special calling on your heart to come into the ministry and be kingdom workers. Maybe a missionary, maybe a pastor, maybe evangelist, maybe who knows what. And Richard has sensed the call of God to come into the ministry. He has heard the voice of God. As a matter of fact, praise team, will you come up here and get ready? We're going to sing that Open My Eyes and Ears. I think we should sing that for Richard and Kathy, because they have heard the voice of God. Their eyes have been opened to Jesus and the call that He has put on their lives. And so Richard has answered that voice that God has said to him, Richard, I want to use you in the kingdom building business. And Richard has said, yes, Lord, just like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, when God said, who will I send? And Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Richard and his beloved have said that. Here I am, send me. He doesn't know what that means. He doesn't know where it's going to mean in the future. But he knows what God has spoke to his heart. And he said, here I am, Lord, send me. And so they're here before you today saying, our board has already approved Richard as a local ministerial candidate. That's the first step. He will work towards conference ministerial candidacy. And he will work on towards being ordained in the Free Methodist Church of the United States of America. But today he stands in front of you to say, I've said yes to Jesus. He's opened my ears. He's opened my eyes. And I'm saying yes to Jesus. And so I'm going to ask Richard and Kathy three simple questions to answer before you. He's already answered questions to our board. But I'm going to ask him three simple questions that he will answer before you. And we will welcome him together as a local ministerial candidate. And then we'll sing this song in honor of you two. Richard, do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And do you offer yourself in service to Him as a local ministerial candidate in the Motley Free Methodist Church? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Recognizing that being a local ministerial candidate in this congregation is an important step in confirming the call of God on your life, do you pledge to diligently seek the Lord's will for your life through prayer and study? If so, answer, I do. Will you seek and accept the guidance of your pastor and the local board of administration in order to fulfill these goals? Friends, I would just ask you to pray for Richard and Kathy as they begin this journey of ordained ministry. I would ask you to pray for them. Isaac and his wife are going through this whole process too, because Isaac has also sensed the call of God. But I pray that you will pray for these couples and pray that God moves in them and uses them to fulfill everything that He's got planned for them in their lives. So I just want to encourage you to pray for them. And once we've sung this song, I'm going to ask some of you to come forward. We're going to lay hands on them and just pray that God leads them every step of the way. Almighty God, thank you. Thank you, Father, for loving us so. Thank you, Father, for calling Richard and Kathy to the ministry. They don't know what that means. They just know they've heard your voice. They're excited and very nervous. What does that mean, Lord? Where would you have us? What would you have us to do? But Father, having called Richard and Kathy, you've got the plan. They're just going to rest in you. They're just going to see your hand, your spirit, guide and lead them in life's pathways as they serve you. And so, Father, we know that Richard has already been ordained by you because you've called him. And so, Lord, anoint him and his beloved. Anoint them, Father, as they serve you. Bless them as they serve you. Strengthen them as they serve you. Give them the courage. Father, they have said, like Isaiah, "Here I am, send me." And so, Father, thank you for their willingness. Thank you, Father, for their hearts that not only want to walk this pathway filled with the Spirit as a Christian, but want to serve you, want to point others to you, want to maybe shepherd a congregation. Whatever it means, Lord, they want to serve you. And so I just pray, Almighty God, bless them and keep them and make your face to shine upon them as they serve you, as they prepare for ordination over the next years. God, use them in powerful, miraculous, mighty ways. We pray in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Lord bless you, my son.